This episode is brought to you by Get Group. Learn more about secure, ISO-compliant mobile driver's licenses and sign up for a demo at getgroupna.com. Welcome to AnvaCast, bringing news, information, and expertise to the Anva community. Here's your host, Ian Grossman. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the AnvaCast. This week, we are talking about developments and changes in the odometer, disclosure, and titling world. And I'm excited to have two special guests with us this week. First, Scott Shank, who is the Vehicle Registration Division Chief at the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation, and also serves as our chairman of our AMVA Vehicle Standing Committee. And I'm also joined with Kathy Curtis from the AMVA team, who is our Director of Vehicle Programs. Kathy, Scott, welcome to your first appearance on the AMVAcast.
Happy to be here.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
So I mentioned just now in the introduction, Kathy and Scott, how we're talking about odometer disclosures, titling, changes in that world. More specifically, about a year ago, NHTSA put out a new final rule as it related to the allowance of the electronic disclosure of odometer readings, something that the community has waited many, many years for. Tell us a little bit about that rule. And as I understand it, there's both the pieces of the electronic disclosure, but there's another piece of it that didn't quite think was going to come with electronic disclosure that we've had to tackle. Kathy, maybe we could start with you with a high-level overview of the rule.
Sure. The updated rule really, as you said, impacts jurisdictions in two ways. First, the new rule allows for the electronic collection of the odometer disclosure and allows for the buyer and seller to sign electronically the disclosure. And then second, the rule changes the vehicles that are exempt from odometer disclosure. Under the current rule, vehicles are exempt when they become 10 years old. Under the new rule, effective January 21, 2021, the vehicles will have to become 20 years old before they are exempt. So to clarify that a little bit, on January 1st, 2021, model year 2011 vehicles would have been exempt, and now they will not be. So jurisdictions, dealers, buyers and sellers will have to disclose the odometer reading for 2011 vehicles going forward, and they won't be exempt until they're 20 years old. Today, jurisdictions are collecting that odometer reading for the 2011s.
Yeah, why do we think NHTSA did this? Do we have any sense of what was behind the change of that timeline?
Because vehicles are lasting longer and they're more valuable as they age, more valuable than they were many years ago. So there was odometer fraud in vehicles that were over 10 years old, whereas many years ago, odometer fraud was basically involved in newer vehicles. But now that a 10-year-old vehicle or 15-year-old vehicle is worth more and lasting longer, we need to make sure that that gap is closed so that to reduce odometer fraud.
So, Scott, what does that mean for a jurisdiction agency? Is this a significant change? Is it easy change to say when you see a vehicle now that's this year, do this differently? Or is it a more substantial operational impact at an agency level?
It is definitely a training issue that we're going to have to train our agents, our employees, to make sure that they collect that. It's also system changes. We had to put a number of system changes in to ensure that the system requires the odometer reading once a vehicle is over 2011 or newer and still allows the exemption for vehicles that are 2010 or older. So it is definitely some system work that we've had to do, and definitely training issues and form updates and those sorts of things.
And have you heard from other jurisdictions? Are they in the same position as it sounds like Pennsylvania is? You've made those changes, you've adjusted, you're prepared for January. Have either you, Scott, through the nature of talking to your neighboring jurisdictions, or Kathy from a national perspective, are we hearing that states are ready for January, or are some not going to be ready to do this by the date of the NHTSA rule?
That is the concern, is that although Pennsylvania is going to be ready, there are a number of other jurisdictions that aren't going to be ready. They needed law changes, or they don't have their systems updated yet. And so that's a challenge for when those vehicles from those other jurisdictions come in and have been marked exempt. That's one of the controversial issues with this law change or rule change.
So when you say it's controversial, meaning in terms of if someone's not ready, how a state that is ready will handle a vehicle that comes from that state that hasn't been doing it?
That's correct. Each jurisdiction are taking a number of different positions on how they're going to handle those vehicles. I can say in Pennsylvania, our current plan is to, when those vehicles come in, is to record their odometer reading and mark it as not actual, which has an impact on the value of that vehicle then.
Hmm. So, Kathy, from a national perspective, do we expect this to be widespread? Is it a few states? Is it most states? Do we have any sense of where folks are landing?
Yes, we do. We are currently conducting a survey with all the jurisdictions to ask them if they will be ready on January 1st. About 41 jurisdictions have responded so far. Of those 41, four jurisdictions have told us that they have to have their state law changed before they can change the exemption law. So those four jurisdictions will be marking the 2011 vehicles exempt on their titles until they can get the state law updated.
So optimistically, there might be something they're able to do as legislatures go back into session in January and February. So it may not be a particularly long-term issue. So it may not affect too many vehicles by volume.
That's right. This current year, several of these jurisdictions had submitted legislation to their state legislatures to update their laws. Some of those legislatures adjourned due to the pandemic before they could address all of the bills before them. And that's what's happened in these four states that we have been made aware of. Their legislature didn't get to those bills. They expect them to, as the new year starts, the new legislature comes in, but they're not exactly sure when the legislature will address the bills. And assuming they pass, they're not sure when they will be effective. It could be sometime in 2021. It could be as late as 2022.
Oh, so you could have a solid year worth of vehicles that fall into this gap.
Yes. One jurisdiction has told us they expect it to be 2022.
So, Scott, you mentioned how Pennsylvania is going to handle those vehicles when they come into Pennsylvania, but we don't know that other states are necessarily going to handle that the same way. Is that correct, that different states may handle it differently, even from those states that aren't doing it?
Yeah, that's correct. We have seen in conversations, some states are going to carry that exemption forward, even though that's not in compliance with the NHTSA rule. There are other states we've heard that say that, they've always required odometer readings regardless of the age of the vehicle. So they, I guess, they have procedures in place to capture that. There are states who are going to record it as actual mileage, which, prevents other issues, depending on how many times that vehicle has changed hands over the course of the years, because these vehicles are, could be 5 years down the road till, and they're coming into a jurisdiction that's requiring odometer readings, then it's been exempt for 5 years or whatever. So that's really the concern. I mean, even if a state legislature changes its laws 6 months from now, or, in June or whatever, there's vehicles that are going to be marked exempt that are going to have to be dealt with for the next 10 years.
And so in addition to the fraud that Kathy mentioned at the outset, that I guess by not closing the loop or leaving the opportunity for fraud remains open, is there a consumer impact? What does it mean for that individual who's either selling or purchasing one of these vehicles? If they're doing that in a state that isn't yet able to be compliant with the rule, is there any impact to those individual customers?
There is definitely value, associated with having actual mileage. I think marking it exempt loses some of its value, makes some of the value go away to that vehicle because you don't know really if that odometer is correct or not. And same with marking it as not actual. So either of those has some value impact. I think, the title history in NVIDIA's will show that a vehicle was marked exempt at some point. So I think that would even have some value impact on the value of the vehicle, if it even is marked actual in a state that's decided to do that.
And when you say impact on the value, meaning it might lessen the value of the vehicle by not being able to truly track what the odometer reading was.
Correct. Yeah. The value, the market value of the vehicle.
Right. And what about outside of the individual consumers and the state titling agencies? Is there any impact here for the broader vehicle marketplace, used car dealers, other folks that are in that ecosystem? Do they play at all into this, how this exemption works?
They will, I think. Or Kathy, if you wanted to take that, because if you go to a dealer goes out of state and buys a vehicle at auction marked exempt, and then it comes into another state that says that's exempt, but it's not allowed to be exempt according to NHTSA's rules, then that changes the value of the vehicle potentially.
Hmm. Yes, and it could also, if that dealer purchases a vehicle, a 2011 vehicle next year that's been marked exempt, and they're not aware that some states are marking them exempt because their law didn't change, they may not realize they need to capture that odometer reading for the state that they're taking the vehicle to. And that could cause some potential buyers or additional dealers to try and, they may have to try and track the odometer reading for that vehicle going backwards through the hands that it passed through. If it passed through two or three dealers before a individual registered it, the new jurisdiction may require that they try and obtain a odometer reading each time it passed through a different dealer.
So as the small handful of jurisdictions that can't comply with the rule creates this gap, is it exacerbated by the jurisdictions who can comply handling the title different when one of those vehicles are coming into their state? So in other words, you've got the challenge of a small handful of states that just aren't able to comply. Is there any opportunity that if all the states said, okay, we know you can't comply, so when one of your vehicles comes into our state, we're at least all going to handle it the same way. Is there any challenge there that's created by Pennsylvania makes their decision how to handle those vehicles? Scott, you mentioned the litany of things that different states might do. Is there any impact of everybody doing it a little bit differently, or will that eventually wash out over time?
I think it's definitely a challenge. I don't know that we know the answer to that.
It would have been helpful if perhaps NHTSA had provided some guidance to jurisdictions, because consistency is always desired. But without guidance from NHTSA, jurisdictions are concerned that they must follow their state laws and try to comply with the federal laws. So it makes it difficult.
So let's talk a little bit about the other part of the rule as well, the allowance for electronic odometer disclosure. It's something that the community has been asking NHTSA for many years. So this is exciting that we finally have this. What is the implications of this opportunity of electronic odometer disclosure?
Jurisdictions will be able to really move their titles process to a fully electronic titling system. And right now, jurisdictions are trying to figure out how to move more transactions online. And the titling process has always been a paper-based process and been very difficult to move to an electronic transaction. So this opens the door for electronic titling. Electronic titling is going to be will have a significant impact on dealers, lien holders, auctions, jurisdictions. So it really needs to be thought through carefully. The electronic titles need to be passed between jurisdictions, between all of the stakeholders. So there needs to be a national solution for an electronic program.
And a number of jurisdictions have already moved forward within their own state lines to go to paperless titles. Do they not need this permission of the odometer disclosure to be able to do that for those that are doing it within their individual state borders?
Several of those jurisdictions had received either waivers from NHTSA or complete waivers or limited waivers. So they were able to capture electronic odometer disclosure for vehicles that stayed within their state. Because they couldn't pass that electronic record to a jurisdiction that issued paper titles, they had to then print the title and hand it to the individual who then hands it to the next jurisdiction. So those jurisdictions that are issuing electronic titles within their state are having a great deal of success, and we will really be able to leverage their experience and knowledge when we look at how to accomplish this nationally.
And Scott, has Pennsylvania looked at that opportunity to go to a paperless title, and where are you in that evolution?
Pennsylvania is definitely looking into it. I think the pandemic has definitely forced all states to really look at this more closely and more urgently. Pennsylvania has actually had electronic liens since 2008 mandatory. So that's one thing that we've been able to take advantage of. But there's still times where it has to be dropped to paper, even during the lien, when it's under a lien. So we're looking at that, looking at ways to, when people refinance, to keep that electronic. I think one of the big opportunities is also when, or one of the greater challenges is when a vehicle gets transferred from state to state and there's a lien on it, you know, that's a very complicated process to get that, you know, transferred over. And I think that this, you know, the odometer reading, the electronic odometer reading and the e-titling process and trying to leverage how to transfer titles between states electronically is a huge opportunity, a huge challenge, but something that I think is very exciting that we're looking at.
So the AMVA Board of Directors approved a new working group to kind of help the community chart the path towards that e-titling future across state lines. Kathy, where are we in the development of that new working group and starting to move us towards an e-titling solution?
We've just recently held the first kickoff meeting for the e-title working group, and we're very fortunate that Scott is also on that working group. The working group is going to start out with developing a framework, a vision of what e-title is. They will be publishing a document that explains the vision sometime next spring. So we urge everyone to watch for that. Prior to publishing that framework, they're going to hear from several of the companies that provide systems to jurisdictions. They'll talk with experts in electronic identity management and talk with the jurisdictions that have, as I said, the intrastate electronic titling. So they'll be developing this framework and then identifying the different components over the next several months and providing guidance to jurisdictions as that becomes available.
So, Kathy, in your list of things that they're doing, you mentioned something that we don't always hear mentioned in the context of having a vehicle titling discussion, which is identity. Identity, you know, is usually so much tied up with our work in driver licensing, and you made a point to mention electronic identity as it relates to going to paperless titles, electronic titles. What's the nexus there?
Currently, when you sell your vehicle, and you, if you're trading it in at a dealership, for example, you're sitting at a desk and you're signing a lot of papers, wet signature with ink and a piece of paper. And the dealer sitting across the desk from you is able to identify you and can confirm that that is, you are who you are when you're signing that vehicle over to them. When this is all done electronically, there needs to be a method that people have confidence in that can electronically confirm who is signing each document and that they have the authority to sell that vehicle, that the vehicle is actually owned by them. So it's going to be very important to identify that individual electronically. And that there's many opportunities to consider when looking at how exactly to do that.
Is one of those opportunities leveraging the work the community is doing on mobile driver's licenses? Have the vehicle folks had that conversation to say, oh, let's look at what's going on in mobile driver's license, and that is essentially establishing a trusted electronic identity?
Absolutely. And the working group will be hearing, the eTitle working group will be hearing a lot of information from the experts that have developed the mobile driver licensing system.
So, Scott, that's really not to make too big a deal of it, but it's really another example of how this development of technology and new ways of doing business is breaking down some of the traditional silos and division of labor in our motor vehicle world, where here you are on a vehicle side needing to have a conversation with perhaps your driver licensing counterparts around identity. Is that something that you've had the opportunity to be engaged in?
We're just in the very first steps of that. I think identity proofing is a huge deal. E-signatures is a huge deal, not just for the transfer of titles or vehicles between individuals or dealers, but also just in a lot of the work that we do for registrations, for applications for various I want to say duplicate titles, but you're not going to need duplicate titles anymore once we go to electronic titles. But e-signature is a very big deal that we're really just touching, getting into in the motor vehicle world, at least in Pennsylvania.
And I suspect that's true in a lot of the jurisdictions. Kathy, have you heard of others that have been more aggressive in adopting electronic signatures, or is it also something that's fairly new on the horizon for most of the AMVA members?
I think that the jurisdictions are in various stages of adopting electronic signature. There is a lot of pressure to do so now that they're trying to move so many transactions to contactless services. They are really trying to figure out how electronic signatures can help them conduct their business without bringing people into their offices.
So I think this has been a really good overview of what's in the new NHTSA rule, the two core pieces of it, and how it's going to impact agencies' business. Is there anything about the NHTSA rule or on the immediate horizon as it relates to the exemption or the ability to accept e-odometer disclosures that we haven't talked about that either one of you think that either a jurisdiction member or an industry partner really needs to know about and be aware that we haven't had the opportunity to touch on?
I think I would mention that we have our odometer disclosure white paper on our website, on the AMVA website, and that includes a chart that indicates when each model year vehicle will be exempt from odometer disclosure. And we've heard several folks tell us that that chart's been very helpful, that it gives them a visual on how to understand moving from a 10-year exemption to a 20-year exemption.
Great. And Scott, whether it's, you know, from the vehicle committee or conversations in Pennsylvania, anything else that you've heard discussed that, you know, we haven't touched on that you would want to make sure is out there on people's radars?
I think it's just, a 2010 model year or older is still going to be eligible to be exempt. There are many states that will allow a vehicle that is older to still have its mileage recorded. And I think that's important for those states that can, they should continue to record odometers, even if their law says they are eligible to be exempt, to maintain the integrity of that vehicle's odometer.
Great. Well, I want to thank both of you for spending some time with me today to talk through what could otherwise be a pretty complicated rule and a complicated business area. To really help unpack it and help folks understand both the odometer exemption change as well as the opportunities around e-odometer disclosure. On that second one, I have a feeling we're going to have some more conversations with the two of you over the coming months and years, both as we learn more about what jurisdictions are doing to accept electronic odometer disclosure, and as Kathy talked about, we're in such the early days of what the e-titling ecosystem might look like. And I look forward to having you both back to talk more about it as we learn more and know more.
We look forward to it.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you both. Thank you all for listening to this episode of the AmvaCast. Thanks to our producer, Claire Jeffrey, and we'll see you all next time. Stay well, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for AmvaCast, hosted by Ian Grossman, produced by Claire Jeffrey, music by Gibson Arthur. This episode has been brought to you by Get Group. Visit us at amvacast.podbean.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.